This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, March 5th, 2014. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Christina Thomas. KUAF is supported by Ben Owens Shelter Insurance Agency, providing auto, home, and life insurance. 582-4990 for more information.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, Roby Brock talks to the Dean of the University of Arkansas Clinton School of Public Service about Arkansas's election year. Also, we learn about a mobile center designed to help combat vets in rural locations.
Plus, we learn about the benefits of cryotherapy, get some cooking lessons in the latest installment of our monthly food series, and more. But first, after more than a week of delaying a fifth vote on funding the private option, the Arkansas House of Representatives passed the measure yesterday with a 76-24 vote. A minority of House lawmakers had prevented a required 3-4 supermajority vote for the funding bill for the Department of Human Services Division of Medical Services, but three lawmakers switched their previous no votes to yes votes yesterday. One of them, Representative Kim Hammer of Saline County, said from the House floor that he was still concerned about oversight of the health care program for poor Arkansans.
But I promise you this, and I give you this my promise, that if it doesn't show the measurable results that we have been promised, as much as I'm standing here today, say I'm going to vote it and let it go through, because it's either going to be a great success or it's going to be a miserable failure, one of the two. And when we come back here in January, if it's not a great success, I will be voting against it.
Among the 24 members of the House who voted no was Randy Alexander from Fayetteville. Yesterday, he criticized the National Affordable Care Act during his explanation of why he didn't support funding the private option.
Is it our job as legislators to serve our people or serve the federal government? Friends, we will never be able to create a truly efficient, effective health care system for our people unless we understand this. Only a free people who have the ability to choose the best course of action can create a system like that.
After the vote, Governor Mike Beebe said there is less uncertainty surrounding the program now than was the case when the legislature first passed the program last year. He said that should reaffirm lawmakers' resolve to continue reapproving the program.
If anything, it was even more compelling to do it this time than it was last time. I mean, you had two more reasons. You had the removal of the uncertainty as to whether the feds would let us do it, and you also had the tax cuts that were predicated on the savings that were generated by the private option. So if anything, it was even more compelling this time to do it than it was last time. Not to mention the fact you'd be throwing over 100,000 people off of health care.
The private option bill now awaits the governor's signature.
The governor also took time at the Capitol yesterday to speak with reporters about the state's February revenue report, which was released yesterday. Officials with the Arkansas Department of Finance and Administration say state revenues last month were below forecast, but they were higher than numbers for the same time last year. Net available revenue for last month totaled $212 million, which is about $2 million above last year, but $5 million below forecast. Governor Beebe told reporters that income tax revenues are meeting projections, but
what continues to be a drag is sales tax. Now, in all fairness, we did have a bad weather month in January, which could affect sales tax. It's down about $4 million from forecast for the month. And I expect you'll see that again in February because we've had a terrible February. And if March doesn't straighten up, we may have a terrible March.
Despite the poor sales tax collections, Governor Beebe says stronger than forecast income tax collections may indicate that more people in the state are working.
The liberal blog that first brought to light ethics questions for former Lieutenant Governor Mark Darr is now taking a look at Circuit Judge Mike Maggio of Faulkner County. Matt Campbell of Blue Hog Report says the judge was posting objectionable content under the name Go Judge on a website for LSU fans. He says the posts include revealing adoption information involving an award-winning actress.
The poster said that he went to Millsaps College for undergrad, that he had gone to Ole Miss for a couple years for law school and then transferred to a different school. You know, the poster had the same high school as Judge Maggio. Then a little more digging around, somebody was using that same name on a different website talking about Mike Maggio's daughter and, you know, how great of a high school golf player she was. Everything fit.
Campbell says other posts are tinged with sexism, racism, and general anti-Arkansas content. Maggio has refused commenting about the posts.
Fayetteville aldermen last night unanimously approved pay increases for several city employees. The plan provides for step increases in pay for uniformed personnel who have been employed by the city for at least a year. And other employees who have been city employees for at least 6 months are eligible for merit increases similar to the raise for uniformed personnel. In addition, employees who are at the top of their salary ranges will be eligible for a one-time discretionary bonus. The plan will cost the city more than $1.2 million this year.
The National Park Service has issued a new report detailing the economic impact of national parks across the country. According to the study, national parks in Arkansas in 2012 had an impact of $138.9 million and supported 2,014 jobs in the state's economy. Of the state's seven national and federal parks, Hot Springs National Park had the greatest impact, attracting more than 1.3 million visitors who spent more than $77,000 in the local economy, which supported 1,106 jobs. The Buffalo National River also had a significant economic impact in 2012. According to the study, the river attracted nearly 1.1 million visitors who spent nearly $43.8 million and supported 610 jobs in communities near the National River.
A private equity firm based in Kansas City has acquired an Arkansas-based bottled water company. According to Talk Business Arkansas, a group of investors with Great Range Capital acquired Mountain Valley Water Company of Hot Springs. Details of the acquisition were not disclosed with the announcement yesterday. Mountain Valley is the oldest continuously operating bottled water company in the country, with a history dating back to 1871. Great Range Capital reportedly targets controlling equity investments in Midwestern companies, with revenues ranging between $10 and $150 million.
Forecast this evening calls for mostly cloudy skies, with an overnight low of 22 in northwest Arkansas. In the Arkansas River Valley, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of snow before 1 a.m. and an overnight low around 28. Tomorrow, Thursday, mostly sunny with highs around 50 degrees. Tomorrow evening, mostly clear with overnight lows in the upper 20s.
With the private option funding issue addressed by the state legislature, attention for many political observers shifts to the 2014 election. Primaries are in just over 2 months, and in November, voters will decide who will be Arkansas's next governor, as well as make the determination in races involving five of Arkansas's six representatives in Washington. This week, Roby Brock sat down with Skip Rutherford, the dean of the University of Arkansas Clinton School of Public Service, to talk about Arkansas's election year. The conversation was on this weekend's edition of Talk Business and Politics on KATV in Little Rock. Joining Roby in the conversation were KATV reporters Scott Inman and Janelle Lilly. The conversation began with Arkansas's Senate race between incumbent Democrat Mark Pryor and Republican Congressman Tom Cotton.
I think this Senate race is clearly one of the most nationally significant races of the season. But since 1992, Arkansas has been at the top of the national debate on elections. So, you know, we now have become, with six electoral votes, a very important state where people are running for president, maybe running again in 2016, where our Senate race has become very important, where last time, or 6 years ago, 4 years ago, the potential chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee was defeated. And now in this election, it could be the control of the United States Senate. So it's sort of nice to be with a small state to be in the national limelight. And I think this is a pretty significant election.
Do you think that Tom Cotton has kind of weathered some of the attacks, though? I mean, I think that the prior campaign wanted to define him early as an extremist or outside of the mainstream, even for a conservative Arkansan. But he seems to me to have weathered some of those attacks and even some of the votes that he's made in that. I mean, and that has made that race very competitive.
Well, this race is competitive, Robbie, but I think one of the factors that you and I have got to realize is that most people have not focused on the race yet. I mean, we're political groupies, we're political animals, but the average Arkansan, this is a long time between now and November. And so, You know, we're just now in March, so this is going to be a lot of focus. I think, unlike Lincoln Bozeman, which really was, the election was about Blanche Lincoln, I think Cotton's got some pretty extreme votes that he's going to have to work on. I mean, I think it's going to be significant. He's going to be pounded on, wanting to privatize Medicare. That's pretty scary for the seniors.
Well, that excuse comes up all the time. I mean, that allegation comes up all the time.
But look at the record. I mean, he voted against the Violence Against Women Act. This War on Women thing is big. His stand on student loans is a problem. The fact that he didn't vote for the farm bill, people say it's a budget issue. From a farm stability issue, and I got a lot of friends and family that are farmers, you know, knowing what to plant, when to plant, and how to plant, and some orderly system is important. And then I think the vote to deny federal aid to the victims of Hurricane Sandy. I think Cotton has got himself in a position that probably has made his victory or a chance of a victory much tougher than it could have been. Bozeman, on the other hand, against Blanche Lincoln, let Blanche Lincoln be the record. I think in this particular case, Cotton has made himself the record.
Well, and I'm curious about the outside interests that are coming in, because you mentioned a couple commercials that were not paid for by the prior campaign that are paid for by others. And do you think that's going to make a big impact in this national race?
You're going to see so much money pile in here on both sides on this race. So neither campaign is going to be short of money. This race right now is pretty much a dead heat. Both sides will tell you that privately. It's going to probably go down to the wire. It's too close to call right now. But you're going to see so much money come in here that it's going to be good for your TV station.
Is it going to make any make any difference in the governor's race and in the Senate race? Well, usually you think about the governor's race almost setting a tone, but will it reverse this time?
Well, I think we've got two very close elections at the top of the ticket. I think everyone would agree that both of these races are still, you know, dead heats right now, very close. And I think anytime you have money coming in, it could make a difference. But I think both sides are going to be well funded.
What do you make of the ads that are running in the governor's race right now? You're seeing Mike Ross position himself as an independent, not using the Democrat label a whole lot in the ads that are on TV right now. And obviously not the Hutchinson campaign, but the outside money that are paying for the ads for Hutchinson right now, they're trying to get Ross mentioned with Obama and Pelosi as much as possible. Talk about that. Does Mike Ross risk alienating any Democrats by consistently drumming the independent theme?
Scott, maybe 4 to 6 years ago he might have, but in this environment, no. I don't think there's any question that the Democrats will line up solidly behind Ross. I don't think there's any issue there. So I think Ross has a lot of leeway to move in terms of independent and taking more moderate stands. I don't think that impacts him from the Democratic vote. I think the real issue that Ross is going to have to do in this race is that as the state is trending R, and the great race was when Mark Dar beat Shane Broadway, and it was because he had an R by his name. I think that's the battle Ross has got to face.
But you mentioned it too. You got the Obama factor in there. It's playing in the governor's race. It's playing in the U.S. Senate race. It is still the most potent weapon that Republicans have, and they are tying it to every potential candidate.
I mean, six times in one ad.
Well, and even I've seen justices of the peace attack for being Democrats and tying them to Obama in parts of Arkansas. I mean, Obama is the X factor in this race. Do you not agree?
Well, Obama is a factor in this race because he's a very polarizing candidate, particularly in Arkansas. You go back to the 2008 Democratic primary for president, the state where Hillary Clinton got the most votes, percentage-wise. Now, it's not surprising because she's from Arkansas, but the fact is that it was Clinton versus Obama. Arkansas has never voted for Barack Obama. So this is not just the Republicans pounding on Obama. There are a lot of Democrats that never forgave Obama for challenging Hillary.
Why don't we turn our attention to the presidential race? You brought some buttons in.
I did. Those are for you, Robert.
Hillary for president 2016, Mike Huckabee for president 2016.
You have to wear them both, though.
Who's going to win?
Well,
one wins?
Well, let's just say that they're both leading in their respective primaries in the polls in Iowa.
The latest Iowa poll has Hillary Clinton leading the D's and Mike Huckabee leading the R's. When we talk about Arkansas politics, it doesn't get any better than this. I mean, you know, this is it for political groupies from all sides, for people to participate in campaigns. I mean, this trend started back in 1992, and we've had Bill Clinton, we've had Wesley Clark, we've had Mike Huckabee, we've had Hillary Clinton, and now we may have Clinton and Huckabee again in 2016. This is really remarkable for a small state. Mm-hmm. I mean, the two front runners. Now, you could argue one lives in Florida and one lives in New York. You could make that point. But I think both claim Arkansas.
They do.
Yeah. And they're front runners in Iowa. It's a big deal.
Pretty amazing, too. I mean, Hillary is, if you look at the narrative on it, is already in. Mm-hmm. There are groups raising money for her. I mean, is there any way she doesn't run at this point?
Oh, I don't know. I've not talked to her about running. I saw her last week in Washington. We didn't talk about her running for president.
You're probably the only person who hasn't asked her.
I did not ask her about running for president. But I would say that when you look at Hillary Clinton's chances, when you just look at it, Scott, and take a look, a lot of people in politics say you got to follow the money. I think you got to follow the map. And following the map means tell me a state in 2012 that Barack Obama won that Hillary Clinton's not going to win. And then let's throw some other ones in the mix. Arkansas, North Carolina, Louisiana, Georgia.
Do you think she could win Arkansas, or you think she'd just be competitive in Arkansas? Force them to spend resources.
I think Hillary Clinton could win Arkansas.
You think?
Yeah.
No, I don't know if I agree with you on
well,
that.
Well,
if Huckabee's running too?
Well, it'd be two out-of-state candidates running one.
Right. Exactly.
And they really are from Florida and New York, respectively.
One more thing on the Clintons, and this centers around the Clinton Library. Politico's run two stories this week talking about the release of some files. Initially, they weren't going to be released. Now some of them are starting to be released. We always seem to have a good conspiracy theory around the Clintons here. Set the record straight on what's going on with these Clinton Library files.
As much as I can set the record straight. First of all, Josh Gerstein, the reporter for Politico, has done a really good job on that story. I got to give him credit for it. What happens is, after a president leaves office, there is a 12-year period where those papers are withheld. They're looked at, they're categorized, but after the 12-year period, then a certain number of papers in certain categories above my pay grade are released. Clinton's 12-year period expired in 2013. What happens at that point is, from the expiration date, two parties review the papers. One, the current president, one, the former president. So in this particular case, they are the one whose papers were. The Clinton people reviewed them, the Obama people reviewed them. When they review them and say they're okay, they're ready for release. If they don't say any of them are okay, they pull them back and claim executive privilege. Last week, 5,000 pages were released out of approximately 33,000. I don't believe any of those pages contain any executive privilege. It is my understanding, based on the people that I've talked to at the Clinton Library, that the remaining 28,000 will trickle out over the next couple of weeks.
Skip Rutherford, the dean of the University of Arkansas Clinton School of Public Service, talked about Arkansas's electoral politics with Roby Brock this week. The conversation was part of the program Talk Business and Politics, seen on KATV in Little Rock. We also heard the voices of Janelle Lilly and Scott Inman, reporters with KATV. You can see more from the interview at talkbusiness.net. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by AT&T, encouraging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com.
And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And the State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. For more, ArkansasStateChamber.com. This week on Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia, our VIP, that's very important puzzler, takes on the role of puzzle guru.
Though she may dress in raw meat, the flamboyant singer of Poker Face favors this cold tomato-based Spanish vegetable soup.
Come play along with me, Ophira Eisenberg, and Daily Show co-creator Liz Winstead. Next time on Ask Me Another.
Listen Saturdays at 11 a.m. to KUAF.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we learn more about the art of cooking.
My number one goal is for people to feel comfortable in the kitchen and to teach them techniques that they can use over and over again in a different way. That's something that makes them just feel good and confident that they can come home and produce something and not feel like, well, I need to go through a drive-through or I need to order takeout because I can't come up with anything, you know, that I'm really going to love.
We get some cooking lessons later on Ozarks at Large.
The Veterans Administration has a collection of rolling offices designed to better help the needs of combat vets, especially the veterans in rural locations far away from a VA hospital or clinic. One such mobile veteran center is stationed in Fayetteville. But as Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums found out last week, the mobile vet center is out on the road most of the time.
Birch Farley is a retired Army paratrooper, a three-time graduate of the University of Arkansas, and the driving force, literally, behind the Mobile Veterans Center that travels all over the state to offer readjustment counseling for combat veterans and their families.
The baseline functional purpose of the Mobile Vet Center is to identify veterans in need of vet center services specifically.
The Mobile Vet Center is a 38-foot RV set up as a rolling unit to reach out to combat veterans.
That said, I get more inquiries probably than anything about who do I see to file a claim for service-connected disability ratings, or who do I see to get this issue resolved. And that's why I say I'm in the information business. And so if we have a veteran in Rising, Arkansas, or Monticello or somewhere, that wants to come on board, all they have to do is identify the time I'm going to be at a certain location. And it doesn't have to be in their county. If they want to drive to the next county and I'm there, it's a walk-in basis. We don't turn any veteran or family member away. And even if the veteran does not specifically qualify for vet center counseling services per se, we still welcome all those veterans on the vehicle.
The Mobile Center is a traveling extension of the Vet Center that's located in the Evelyn Hills Shopping Center in Fayetteville. Birch Farley drives the Mobile Center all over the state. Officially, he's a readjustment counseling technician with Rehab Counseling Services of the VA. He boils that title down to this. He's in the information business.
But I try to identify veterans in need and funnel those individuals to the appropriate service provider, whomever that might be.
The Mobile Vet Center, headquartered in Fayetteville, is part of a national fleet. The mobile centers, according to the Veterans Administration, are outreach resources designed to interact with veterans in rural communities or at special events like the annual Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue Festival in Northwest Arkansas. The Veterans Administration has two hospitals in Arkansas, Little Rock and Fayetteville, as well as a few community-based outpatient clinics throughout the state. But these resources are still relatively finite in terms of accessibility. Birch Farley says a mobile center can help alleviate some of the travel challenges for vets in the most rural parts of Arkansas.
For example, I cover southern Arkansas all the way down to the Louisiana border. And for some of the veterans down there, to make it to the closest vet center or a VA hospital, it might be a 2.5 to 3 hour drive one way for those individuals. So it's a little bit cumbersome for a lot of folks.
Birch's territory covers more than 2/3 of the counties in the state and parts of southern Missouri as well. He's been the man behind the wheel for about 16 months and says his schedule has kept him on the road for most of that time. During one 9-month time frame last fiscal year, he put 14,000 miles on the RV. This month's schedule, a schedule he aptly describes as robust, has him in 18 different cities. This week, he was scheduled to set up shop across Northwest Arkansas. And then, by the end of March, he's scheduled to have also parked the mobile center in Batesville, Searcy, Fordyce, Lone Oak, El Dorado, and elsewhere. In some of the smallest towns, he sets up at the county courthouse or perhaps at a Walmart.
I try to focus my effort in some of the small towns where maybe the largest public notoriety or the largest people flow of traffic would be. For example, you go into some of these little towns and it might literally be the courthouse at the county seat is the predominant fixture, if you will, or people attraction, if you will, in that entire county. Sometimes it's a Walmart, literally. I mean, it seems seemingly everybody's got to go to Walmart at least once a day. And the beauty of what I do in those rural towns is I can have that mobile vet center set up, for example, in a Walmart parking lot or at a county courthouse parking lot. And a veteran will see that and stop and talk to me and say, well, what are you doing? What do you offer? And then the phones will light up. They'll get on the phone and call another veteran and then call another veteran. And usually within an hour to an hour and a half, folks start trickling through the door of the bus.
Bert says he's had as many as 20 people in the RV at one time in some rural areas. The Traveling Center is a taxpayer-supported resource and is designed to be adapted into several uses in case of emergency, including a temporary doctor's office or a triage center.
For example, when the tornadoes hit Oklahoma City, they took them up there and used them in whatever capacity. I don't know if it was strictly a counseling capacity.
The stop in each city is scheduled to last from 10 until 2:30, and Birch says the VA is trying harder to alert combat veterans with questions about counseling and post-war needs that it's approaching to their city. Unfortunately, weather cancellations can alter the schedule, and getting missed appointments rescheduled can be problematic because of the tight schedule and the downtime needed for maintenance on the vehicle. But when Birch does get to a town, he says he thinks his experience as an Army paratrooper and his college degrees can provide help.
A former combat veteran myself, and significant to this also is that I'm a three-time grad from University of Arkansas, and one of my graduate degrees is in rehabilitation counseling. And I spent 5 years working on the employment counseling and vocational counseling side with a different, with a state agency. So I sort of have a kinship to this whole process that's unique, I think, and probably separates me from a lot of folks that even do what I do nationally. Just because I have so many different, if you would, layers to my own existence in the veteran population.
Weather and road conditions allowing, Birch Farley and the Mobile Vet Center should be in Jasper tomorrow, Huntsville Friday, and in Cassville, Missouri on Saturday.
I suppose you could say that every veteran that's been on the bus since I've been driving it for 16 months has indicated that it was a resource worthy of being fielded and out in the rural communities. The biggest negative or downside issue to the Mobile Vet Center is that I cover so many counties and I have an operational mandate to go to each county annually. Well, you can understand one vehicle that covers essentially the bulk of the entire state of Arkansas. I'm spread pretty thin from the standpoint of I can't be in a county repetitively like every month or every couple of months or twice a quarter or whatever the case may be. And so that in and of itself makes it a little challenging. What Rehab Counseling Services nationally is trying to do, in fact, it starts March 1st. It's referred to as boots on the ground. Nationwide, the mobile vet centers are tasked to hit every county in each of their catchment areas within a 12-month span.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Kyle Kellums.
It is Wednesday, March 5th, 2014, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now is Becca Martin-Brown, Features Editor, Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Today, I believe I promised you history.
You did.
And this is one of my favorites.
Okay.
Both of the regional history museums in Northwest Arkansas have new shows going up.
Tell me.
Shiloh Museum has something going up called A Boy's Toys, an exhibit of toys from the 30s and 40s.
Oh, very cool.
Opens March 24th. The toys are part of the museum's Orville Hall Jr. collection.
Mm-hmm.
It should be so much fun. And that'll be on show through March of next year.
Oh, okay. So plenty of time to catch it.
And Rogers Historical Museum has an exhibit going up called Hog Wild, Our Area's Love Affair with the Pig.
I'm surprised this hasn't been done before now that I think about it.
Yes. And they're going to look at it both ways, you know, farm tools and sausage-making gadgets. Ooh, to folk art and Razorback memorabilia.
Very cool.
It will be worlds of fun. It opens the 22nd, and it's only on show through August 9th.
Okay.
So you could plan a day and do both.
I have done that. It's
sounds
a lot of fun.
Like fun.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Neil Harbison is an artist who's never seen a color, but with some help from technology, Neil can hear color.
So it goes orange, then yellow, then green, then turquoise, blue, and violet is the highest.
And he can perceive many more colors than you or me. Stretching our senses, that's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Listen Sunday at noon to KUAF 91.3 FM.
White Line Designs is an interior design company located in Fayetteville. The company's office includes examples of beautifully decorated rooms, as well as a spacious kitchen where it's not unusual to hear the sounds of avocados being chopped or fingerling potatoes sizzling in a Dutch oven. A few times a month, Jennifer Lewis teaches cooking classes in this shared space. Jen's Art of Cooking came into existence around 2009 when Lewis started it as a hobby slash business out of her home. Lewis often works on her classes with Pam Brandt, a trained chef. Lewis, who is self-taught, was born and raised in the Republic of Panama. Her great-grandfather was a blacksmith when the Panama Canal was being built, and her father also worked for the canal. She moved to the States to go to school, and about 13 years ago, she moved to Northwest Arkansas with her husband. Following the birth of their second child, Lewis decided she wanted to start her own business and was inspired by her love of cooking. Living in a multicultural place has helped Lewis expand her cooking experiences. Growing up, she says she lived in an area where there wasn't a lot of fast food options, and she often cooked at home with her mom.
My parents entertained a lot in the home just because that was just very, you know, a very normal thing to do. We didn't have a ton of family, but had a lot of close friends in the area, and so Christmases, Thanksgiving were all spent with our closest friends and having people over to eat, and so just going out to eat wasn't a major part of our lives. And I felt like when we got married and came to the States, it just seemed as though everyone entertaining was done outside the home. It was done in restaurants, so let's meet out instead of it felt like people weren't comfortable with, you know, having people into the home. So that was just what I wanted to do, to bring I just felt like in Northwest Arkansas, people had these beautiful homes, and we kind of just experienced that people weren't really utilizing them to their fullest as far as creating those beautiful memories.
Lewis recalls being inspired by attending a cooking class that was taught at someone's home. When Lewis was offered the chance to move her classes from her own home to the model kitchen inside White Line Designs in 2011, she says it created the perfect way for her to continue doing what she wanted in an inviting, comfortable environment. Having cooked for much of her life, Lewis has come to enjoy a number of aspects of this activity.
I love how it brings a family together. I really do. I think it's such an important part of our lives. Socially, I think, obviously, for our health, I think that we have gotten away from that as Americans. I think that I enjoy creating something from, you know, just seeing what's fresh and available in the grocery stores and just figuring out what I can do with it.
Jennifer Lewis says she enjoys the creativity of cooking. She challenges herself with recipes and often reads cooking magazines and scrolls through Instagram for inspiration. Lewis says she likes to be inspired by a recipe and then put her own twist on it. While Lewis sometimes hosts open classes, meaning anyone can sign up, she oftentimes teaches classes that have been reserved for a specific group. For example, she recently hosted a class for employees of a local eye care clinic.
So this is just a garlic press, if you guys haven't seen this before. So you can put it in with the skin. And then,
that's totally.
Oh yes. My gosh.
Yeah. So in
that, you don't have to take the skin off?
No.
Well, I sure have spent a lot of time doing that.
And then you just do that.
Lewis says a typical class starts off with one of her signature cocktails, which she uses to teach participants how to blend flavors and how to make a drink with fewer calories. She then moves on to appetizers, a soup or salad course, and then a main course. Some of these courses include a wine pairing, and Lewis typically finishes her lesson with a dessert. While she does tend to create healthy dishes, desserts are often part of the 3-hour class because she believes life is all about balance, so it's all right to indulge every once in a while. For time's sake, Lewis does do some of the prep work, but participants are also invited to be as hands-on or as hands-off as they like.
My number one goal is for people to feel comfortable in the kitchen and to teach them techniques that they can use over and over again in a different way. That's something that makes them just feel good and confident that they can come home and produce something and not feel like, well, I need to go through a drive-through or I need to order takeout because I can't come up with anything, you know, that I'm really going to love.
At the end of each class, participants get a packet of recipes as well as shopping and entertaining tips. Lewis often discusses where she purchased certain items and how to substitute for foods you can't find. One piece of advice she has for working in the kitchen is to use all of your senses.
I have some people say, oh, well, it's cooking so easy because all you have to do is follow a recipe. And it is truly about being in the moment as far as using. If something says, oh, it takes 10 minutes and you smell it starting to burn within 5, then it's you better check on it, you know, or if it's, you know, smelling like it's burning or if it's looking like it's not doing well, you've got to just be able to trust your gut and your senses to be able to adjust your recipe. And my advice is just not to leave the kitchen, you know, not walk away and make sure that you're aware of what you have going on and just have fun with it.
Lewis says it came easy for her to not be afraid to just trust herself when it comes to working with spices and melding flavors. However, not everyone is as comfortable in the kitchen as she is. For novice cooks who may have had some difficulties in the kitchen, Lewis suggests they just keep trying. She says it's key for someone to find out what they really enjoy doing in the kitchen and then expanding on that. For more information on how you can expand your cooking skills, you can search for Jen's Art of Cooking on Facebook. This is Ozarks at Large.
With the ice still melting on the ground from the most recent bout of winter weather, it is hard to imagine that one would want to intentionally immerse oneself into temperatures well below zero. However, the effects of sub-zero temperatures on the body are, according to some, very beneficial. In January, NWA Cryotherapy opened on College Avenue in Fayetteville. I kept seeing a sign marking the new business. It's blue with the logo of a polar bear on an iceberg, but I couldn't imagine what it was. Cryotherapy is the localized or whole body exposure to sub-zero temperatures in order to decrease inflammation, increase cellular survival, decrease pain and spasms, and promote overall health. Angela Dietz is an avid runner and fitness enthusiast. She began using cryotherapy for her own aches and pains. After moving to the area for her husband's job, he's a trainer for the Razorback basketball team, Dietz wondered why there wasn't a cryotherapy business here.
Why is there not one in Fayetteville? This is a big city. There's lots of active people. Why don't we have one? I didn't really think it was something that I would do so soon, But the more I thought about it, I kept thinking, I don't know. I don't know why. Why isn't there one? And so here we are.
The closest cryo businesses to the area are Tulsa and Dallas. A cryo machine is a large chamber that clients step into and are then blasted with nitrogen, the chamber reaching temperatures of negative 275 degrees. More on the process in a bit. The way the machine works is that it puts the body in a stressful situation that the body then has to overcome. Dietz likens it to a fight or flight situation.
It's not really the cold that's healing you, it's your reaction to the cold. The chamber is so cold so quickly that your body decides, okay, arms and legs are probably not going to make it. So your body runs on an internal circulatory system. So instead of the blood traveling to your feet and back to your heart to get oxygenated, it's staying in the trunk. And so that blood is going to the heart three times faster than it would on a regular circulatory lap. For 3 minutes, your arms and your legs have a vasoconstriction, so the blood stays on an internal circulatory system. After the 3 minutes, those veins, those vessels, go ahead and release that rush of super oxygenated blood, because it's gone to your heart multiple times, super oxygenated, and it flushes the joints, is what it was initially for rheumatoid arthritis.
Whole body cryotherapy was developed in 1978 in Japan to treat rheumatoid arthritis. The practice has only been in the United States for about 10 years. For those with chronic pain, it provides a natural analgesic, relieving pain symptoms for up to 8 hours. In recent years, it has become popular with professional athletes, many using it post-workouts, games, and competitions because of the way it works for muscle recovery and with injuries. Dietz describes a situation with a torn ACL, an anterior cruciate ligament, a common injury with many athletes. Often, a surgeon cannot operate until the swelling goes down, which can take up to 3 weeks. Daily use of the cryo machine can reduce this time to just a week or a week and a half. Dietz sees many athletes, from professional baseball to the Lady Back basketball team to track stars. Wallace Spearman is a customer. Spearman is a Fayetteville native and former Razorback track and field runner. He has run for 2 U.S. Olympic teams, 4 world championship teams, and is now a member of Team USA. When he returns home or to run in races such as the recent Tyson Invitational, in which he ran the 200-meter dash in 20.51 seconds, he uses the machine at NWA Cryotherapy. He uses it at least once a week, twice if he has a race. He describes a typical week of practices. He leaves his house at about 9 a.m. and returns around 6 p.m.
I have practice at 9:30 weight room. So it was Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays our prime lifting day, and Tuesdays and Thursdays we do correctional exercises. A lot of the stuff that I've been doing wrong for the last 10 years, he's kind of trying to correct because I had some injuries, so a lot of that stuff helps. And then we go straight from there to rehab. I work with the U of A training room, some of their athletic trainers, and I'm in there for about another hour. Then I have about an hour off, then I go to the track. And then back to the training room and back to rehab and then home.
He says the day prior's practice left him sleepy and throwing up due to the strenuousness. Practice takes quite a toll on his body. As he ages, Spearman can tell that his recovery time is getting longer. That's where cryotherapy comes in. He found it about 2 years ago when he was living in Dallas. Though it doesn't necessarily work miracles, he says it definitely relieves some soreness.
You feel like you're not tired and you're not sore. You're still tired. Your muscles are still tired. You use them. But that feeling of the soreness goes away from me. And that's kind of why I use it, why I like to use it. It seems like it speeds up recovery.
Just using it once a week, he says he turns around and damages his body again the next day. But for the average person, these benefits would last longer. He has noticed the effects on an old injury.
I had chronic Achilles tendinopathy. And every day was kind of a challenge. Even when I woke up, my Achilles was just sore. It was painful. And I felt a lot of relief from using the cryo chamber.
Spearman says that as a track and field athlete, he feels like a guinea pig when it comes to sports medicine, trying everything from hydrobaric chambers to a complex machine and the traditional ice bath. He says he likes a spin in a cryo chamber way more than an ice bath, which is submerging body parts into icy water. According to Angela Dietz, an ice bath only gets to about 40 degrees, as opposed to more than 200 degrees below zero. And because of the prolonged time you're in the ice, body fluids are actually coagulating. It's like putting meat into a freezer.
So instead of having that fast movement of fluid like you would want to alleviate the swelling, to release the lactic acid, the ice bath is actually going to coagulate those fluids. So, and then, you know, of course, the other things, you're in an ice bath, anytime you're in a pool of water that other humans have been in, you increase your risk of infections if you've got a cut, MRSA, staph, all those things.
The cryo machine uses nitrogen to cool the chamber and the body. Dietz gets large tanks of the gas from a local chemical company. The chamber is in one of three rooms the business occupies inside a brown brick business complex. The hissing tanks hidden behind a screen next to the large chamber. The chamber is a padded tube with a platform at the bottom. It raises so that the client's head sticks out of the chamber during a treatment. The machine has a large digital thermometer that, before cooling, reads about negative 5 degrees. Though it was a brisk 19 degrees on the day of my visit, I decided to give it a spin. Because the nitrogen comes out one side, you slowly turn yourself so as not to get hit in the same spot repeatedly. Dietz begins by taking my blood pressure. It cannot be above 170 because the machine will raise it by a few points. But I was good to go. She grabs a pair of calf-high furry house boots and...
Okay, these are the boots. You're going to wear these boots. And then these are clean, dry socks. Any moisture on your feet could be dangerous, so you need to be completely dry with your socks. So you're going to put on the socks, and you're going to put on the boots, and then I have gloves for you.
Dietz leaves the room, allowing me to undress down to my undies. No underwire allowed, ladies. I had also been instructed to remove my heavy metal necklace. I climb into the chamber and push a doorbell button that rings in the lobby, notifying Dietz that I am ready.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start it.
All right.
And then lift you up.
Definitely a little nervous.
It is, I can see.
Because I'm new, she starts me at 2 minutes, but the typical length of a treatment is 3. She turns on the radio that is built into the machine to act as a distraction. 3 minutes can be a long time when you're standing in negative 245 degree temperatures.
And then with 5 seconds remaining, you'll hear just a beep, and it'll start lowering you down, and then you can just get out, which is right now.
Okay. Wow.
See, you're finished. 3 minutes goes fast.
Oh, it does.
I wound up making it the entire 3 minutes. It was cold, but it wasn't that cold. I had a tingling feeling as I put my clothes back on, almost a warm, burning feeling. I exercised regularly, but didn't necessarily have any soreness to heal. Though I had just eaten lunch, I was starving after my treatment. Clients burn anywhere from 500 to 800 calories in the 3 minutes, because the body is working so hard to try and warm up. A few clients come for these weight loss benefits. Another bonus side effect is a good night's rest. One of Dietz's clients has stopped taking Ambien on a regular basis. Because the cryo machine freezes the skin half a millimeter deep, collagen has a chance to reproduce, providing youthful effects for some. In addition to cryotherapy, NWA Cryotherapy also offers altitude training for athletes and recovery pump machines. For more information, visit NWACryotherapy.com. This is Ozarks at Large.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, an in-studio performance from the Korean-American indie rock group Run River North.
Run, river, run.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
She's tired from the storm, witches from the north, standing at the gates, quiet, unafraid, but one has come.
Here and Now, coming up next here on KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Greenwood.
And before we end today's show, we have a giveaway. We have 4 tickets to Romeo and Juliet. It's a production by Trike Theater. It will be in their newly renovated space just off the Bentonville Square. We'll also have 4 Malco movie passes. Performances start tomorrow and run through Sunday. Now it is Romeo and Juliet, and I remember growing up there was a movie with Romeo and Juliet. Did you ever see it, Christina?
Oh, I did.
With Leonardo DiCaprio. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Directed by Baz Luhrmann.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that got me thinking, I saw Leonardo DiCaprio on television this weekend for the Oscars. He had been nominated for an Academy Award, didn't win. He's actually been nominated 5 times and has not won. But he has been nominated for 10 Golden Globes, and he's won some of those. So I need you to tell me how many Golden Globe Awards he has received.
Right. And when you figure that out, you can send your answer to ozarksatlarge@gmail.com.
Yep. Again, how many Golden Globe Awards has Leonardo DiCaprio won? ozarksatlarge@gmail.com. If you need to Google it, go for it. Then email us and we will announce a winner tomorrow.
A few quick notes here. Yesterday, we mentioned several visual art events in our region, and there's one more to add. Tomorrow evening, the Fayetteville Underground will host its monthly First Thursday event. The reception will feature Hot Springs fiber artist Barbara Cade and Fiber Fusion 4, a collective from Fort Smith. New member Ben Flowers will be opening his studio in preparation for the Artisphere installation he's doing. The event, which is free and open to the public, will also feature Allison Williams from Maybell Music, drinks, snacks, and new art from all the art collective's members. FayettevilleUnderground.com for more information.
We have a couple of quick music notes. Yesterday's Ozarks at Large featured a conversation with Roseanne Cash, who will perform at Walton Arts Center Friday night. During the conversation, she said this would be her first time to visit Northwest Arkansas. However, she has played at Eureka Springs. Our own Mike Shirky, the host of The Pick and Post, which airs Saturday nights at 7 here on KUAF, he told us that he once emceed an event at the auditorium in Eureka Springs that featured a performance by Roseanne. If you'd like to catch her while she's here in Fayetteville this week, you can visit waltonartcenter.org for more information about times, schedules, tickets, and all that good stuff.
And we would like to extend our congratulations to Barrett Baber and Kenny Lamb. They are the winners of the Arkansas Department of Parks and Tourism Song of Arkansas contest. The duo was selected from 7 finalists as the best by fans. More than 34,000 votes were entered during the 2-week voting period. Barrett Baber will perform the song he co-wrote with songwriter Kenny Lamb on Monday, March 10th at the 40th Annual Arkansas Governor's Conference on Tourism in Rogers. They will receive a recording session, a video, and $2,000.
And finally, the Center of the Universe Festival has been scheduled for July 25th and 26th in Tulsa. They had the inaugural event last year. And they have recently announced bands that will be playing the main stage located just outside of Kane's Ballroom. They will have AWOL Nation, Fits and the Tantrums, 21 Pilots, Young the Giant, Capital Cities, Cold War Kids. Early pricing is going on now through April 30th. Single night tickets are $20 a piece. And if you want a weekend pass, that is $35. There are also VIP tickets available at centerofTheUniverseFestival.com. Now, that is a little different from last year where in the inaugural year, the tickets were free. But they have revamped a few things and I look forward to more announcements from them.
Still very affordable.
Still very affordable. Made it over last year and got to see it. And it was a lot of fun. So I'm glad to see that that's happening. I'm always happy when we have a couple of festivals happening. And speaking of festivals, the Fayetteville Roots Festival, I heard, have sold out of their VIP ticket packages already. So congratulations to them. And that is scheduled for August. So if you are interested in or curious about that, you can visit FayettevilleRoots.com. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Tune in tomorrow at noon for an all-new edition of Ozarks at Large. We will both be back.
I'll
be filling in for Kyle Kelms tomorrow. So you'll have both of us back on the air again tomorrow. We're going to end today's show with some music by Young the Giant, who will be at Center of the Universe Festival later this summer. The song is called My Body. Thanks again for listening and have a fantastic Wednesday.